Let's read together Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 through 22. Now, here in this first half of Leviticus chapter 23, we have the description of the first four of the seven annual feasts in the Hebrew religious calendar. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of the chapter. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but in the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Let's begin our study of this first half of Leviticus 23 with some background notes. If someone were to ask you, what is the book of Leviticus in the Bible all about, how would you answer? Well, one simple answer is offerings and feasts. Remember, there were five distinct offerings in Israel's sacrificial system. Now, here in Leviticus chapter 23, we see that there were seven annual feasts in Israel's religious calendar: Passover, Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, here in Leviticus 23, counted as one of the feasts. It was actually a fast. And then finally, the Feast of Tabernacles. The first four of these feasts were celebrated in the first half of the year and are known as spring festivals. And the last three were celebrated in the last half of the year and are known as fall festivals. Just as the five offerings, where we saw that each of the sacrifices pictured or typified the person and work of Christ in some way, so in these seven feasts, we see pictured or portrayed some aspect of Christ and his redemptive program for his people. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Leviticus chapter 23. The Hebrew feasts have both an historical aspect and a future aspect. The Hebrew feasts have both an historical aspect and a future aspect. Now, Leviticus chapter 23 starts out with a description of the weekly Sabbath, which was obviously not one of the seven annual feasts. So why is the Sabbath included here in these first three verses that we read? Why is the Sabbath included with the seven annual feasts? Let me suggest three reasons. Number one, the Sabbath formed the basis of the whole sabbatical system of worship under the law. The weekly celebration of the Sabbath was just as much a part of Israel's worship as the celebration of the annual feasts. Number two, we learn in Deuteronomy chapter 5 that the children of Israel, on the Sabbath day of rest each week, were to remember their redemption out of Egypt, which is also the theme of Passover, the first annual feast, which follows here in verse 4 of Leviticus 23. And number three, a third reason the Sabbath is included here in Leviticus 23 with the annual feasts is because of its prophetic meaning, as the annual feasts foreshadow and portray the Lord's complete redemptive program. So the Sabbath is a type of the rest yet to come when redemption is consummated. As Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains a rest for the people of God. Now let's read verses 4 through 8. Of Leviticus 23, where we have the first two of the annual feasts, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it." The first Passover was when the blood of the Passover lamb was put over the door and on the two sides of the door of each house so that the firstborn would not die in the 10th plague in Egypt. Thus, the celebration of the Passover each year looked back on the redemption of the firstborn and the redemption of the nation out of Egypt. But besides this historical aspect, we know from the New Testament that there was an eschatological aspect to the Passover as well. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And indeed, the Lord went to the cross at Passover time. So there was definitely an historical aspect to the Passover, as well as an eschatological, or looking to the future aspect of this feast. Following Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It began on the day after Passover and continued for a week. It was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread because it commemorated the hasty departure of the children of Israel from Egypt when there was not time to bake leavened bread. Leaven in the Bible is symbolic of evil, and Egypt is symbolic of the world. So in the historical aspect, the Feast of Unleavened Bread looks back on the separation of Israel from the evil and pagan ways of Egypt. In the eschatological, or future aspect, of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we have pictured our separation from sin and the world, and our separation unto the Lord, and our fellowship with Him. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 7, Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. From 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Now in verses 9 through 14 of Leviticus 23, we have the Feast of First Fruits. Let's read these verses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. And its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. During the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a third feast was celebrated, namely the Feast of First Fruits. A sheaf of barley at the beginning of harvest time was waved before the Lord to symbolize the consecration of the entire harvest yet to come to the Lord. Notice from verse 11 that it was on the day after the Sabbath, that is, on the first day of the week. Thus, the eschatological, or future aspect of this feast, looked forward to the resurrection of Christ. He would die on Passover. He would rise on the first day of the week. Notice that no sin offering was part of this feast. The question of sin was settled when the Lord died. The Lord's resurrection as the first fruits foreshadows the harvest to come at the rapture, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 23. Now in verses 15 through 21 of Leviticus 23, we have the Feast of Pentecost. Let's read these verses. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year, without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. Then the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. The Feast of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks, was celebrated 50 days from the Feast of First Fruits. Thus, after seven Sabbaths, the Feast of Pentecost was also on the first day of the week. Pentecost was a day of thanksgiving to the Lord for the harvest, and of course it looked forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit and the formation of the church at Pentecost. Now notice some further features about this feast that emphasize the coming of the Holy Spirit and the formation of the church composed of redeemed believers. The two loaves of bread that were waved before the Lord were baked with leaven, which is a symbol of evil in Scripture. The two loaves with leaven represent both the Jews and Gentiles that make up the church. Even though we are still sinners, the Holy Spirit has brought us together in the body of Christ. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Remember, leaven and the sin offering were absent in the barley sheaf of the Feast of First Fruits, which represented the resurrection of our sinless Lord. But now here in the Feast of Pentecost, we have both leaven and the sin offering, verse 19, indicating the presence of sin in the church on earth at this present time. And yet we are fully accepted in the Lord as the loaves waved before the Lord represent Jew and Gentile together in one body in Christ. The Hebrew feasts have both an historical aspect and a future aspect. And that brings us to our practical application for this first half of Leviticus 23. Don't forget the poor and needy. Don't forget the poor and needy. Verse 22, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Under the law, the children of Israel were not to harvest every last grape and every last stalk of grain. These remnants and the gleanings of the harvest were to be left for the poor and needy and foreigners who were passing through Israel. Now, why is this law included here between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets? Well, it is connected with the harvest, which was celebrated in the Feast of Pentecost. And in the prophetic aspect, it may look forward to the gleanings of the future harvest of souls. Christ is the first fruits. The great harvest of the church is at the time of the rapture, but there will also be the gleanings of the tribulation period. So this may be portrayed here in verse 22. But in any case, let's not miss the practical application. As the children of Israel were not to forget the poor and needy and foreigner and strangers, when God blessed them with an abundant harvest, so we should not forget to share with the poor and needy out of the abundance that God has given us. Don't forget the poor and needy.